Good morning and welcome to Whitestone. If you're with us for the first time, we offer you a special welcome. We're glad that you're here. This morning, we're going to be looking at one passage of Scripture in particular and kind of playing off a little bit of last Sunday. Last Sunday, we looked at what I kept saying over and over is that you belong. There's a place for you. And we looked at a couple of passages of Scripture. One was 1 Corinthians 12, another was Romans chapter 12, and in those two passages of Scripture, what we looked at was that every person who is a follower of Jesus, if someone has said yes to Jesus and placed their faith in Him, you've received some sort of gift, some sort of spiritual gift. Now, it's kind of hard sometimes for us to get our heads around that, but the Scripture calls those gifts, gifts of mercy and gifts of leadership and administration, gifts of teaching, gifts of governing, gifts of giving. And so every person has different gifts. That means that God has given us a special capacity to be able to serve each other, to be able to love other people, to be able to serve people in that way. And your gift and your strength is something that's not somebody else's gift. You're able to serve people in a certain way. You see things from a different perspective than other people do. If you're a mercy person, you wonder why people are so harsh. If you're a leadership person, you wonder why things are so unorganized. You bring that. And it doesn't mean that everybody else is wrong. It means that God's created you that way so that you can be a blessing to other people who don't have your gifts. And God's created you that way so other people can be a blessing to you that you don't have their gifts. Now, there are things that about our personalities that we're different. Our personalities, some of us are extroverts, some of us are introverts, some of us have an attention to detail, some of us don't. There's things about our personality that are unique. There's things about our passions that are unique. You have certain things that you're interested in and that you're passionate about that other people don't. There's certain passions you have that other people don't. But the third thing I want to hear is not only your personality and your passions, but there's gifts that you have. And if you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says that you have certain spiritual gifts that maybe somebody else doesn't have. And what we talked about last week was that in the body, God has given us all those gifts so that what? So that together as one body, and He used the illustration of a body with ears and eyes and nose and mouth, as one body, we all serve together. That's the way God set it up. He set it up so that we would all have an impact in each other's lives. And when one person fails to do that, the body suffers because of that, because we're not gleaning from the impact of the gifts that you have. If I'm lazy, if I don't use the gifts that God's given me, then other people are going to be impacted by that because I've not used the gifts that God's given me. And that's the way God has created the body. He's created us that, and remember the passage we looked at last week? One of the phrases that really stuck out was, and each member belongs to all the others. Does that make sense? We each belong to all the others. And so this morning, we're going to kind of be playing off that just a little bit more. When we first really moved our church to this location and began to really think about, God, what's our mission? What's our mission? And there was about a year process where we just really got into the Word and we met and we took notes and we looked at all the red letters of things that Jesus said and we tried to say, God, if we could boil down the mission of our church into just a simple phrase, what would that be? I mean, if you were to take everything that Scripture says, I mean, what's at the basic, at the foundation of it, what is it that you want us to be about? And so what we wrote down was that we felt like that God's mission for us was to help people come to know Jesus and become like Jesus. That at the foundation, that's really what it was all about. Help people come to know Jesus and become like Jesus. And becoming like Jesus is a lifelong process. And in that, we said, if that's the mission, then what are some of the things that we value? I mean, that's a mission, but we've got to be able to put meat to that. We've got to be able to put specifics to that. And how do we explain that to people? How do we grow as a body? And so we said, there's some values that we want to be able to communicate in very specific ways. And one of those values was that one of the ways that we felt like that we were to grow to be more like Jesus was, one of the values was authentic community. And the way that we express that specifically is through community group Bible studies and connecting people together, and that we want people to grow in Christ together in community, and that's how God's designed it. We talked about lifestyle worship. One of the values that we're going to continue to communicate, and there's about seven of those values, is lifestyle worship, not just corporate worship, but that God's designed us to have a lifestyle of worship every day. And so you hear us talk about that on a regular basis. One of those values is what I want to talk about this morning, and that value is this, is strategic service. Strategic service. And we see that throughout the Scripture. And as we talked last week, and as we looked at those two passages of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, about the gifts in the body, what Paul's saying, what God's saying through those writers is that that He wants us to be about strategic service. That we, and let me put a definition to that. The definition is not very complicated. The definition is to serve strategically. Okay? That's what strategic service is. And one of the reasons that we did that is we feel like that's what Scripture talks about. One of the ways that we grow as believers is not just coming in and sitting and hearing a preacher talk. One of the ways that we grow is not just coming to a Bible study. It's not just consuming information, because that just makes my head bigger. That's all it does. But a way that God wants us to grow, and a way that we'll never grow until we really grasp onto this, is when we begin to do things to meet other people's needs. And that can look a lot of different ways, but we use our energy and our time and our efforts and our gifts to step in and do something for somebody else. And sometimes that's here on a Sunday morning with people that we know and love and people that we don't know that are coming for the first time. Sometimes that's with our neighbors and our friends, but that God wants us to strategically serve, to use gifts that we have, and that's a way that we grow. And when we were doing that too, as we were talking about those values, we were talking about, well, this is the kind of church that I grew up in. And there were things about the church that I grew up in. And we met in groups, and we met as a staff, we met as elders, and we talked about this over and over and over. And some of the things that we saw in churches as we grew up, we loved and we wanted to hold on to. And some of those things were, we grew up in a church that was just really wanted to see lost people come to know Jesus. And we wanted to hold on to that evangelism. We saw people who were passionate about missions, and that's something that we wanted to continue to be about. And we saw people who had different churches that had brought different things to the table that we wanted to continue to be. But we also grew up in some places where we saw things that weren't real healthy. We didn't want to be like that anymore. And one of those things was, I don't know if you've been in a church like this. I have, and a lot of our folks have. When there's a church and you just stand up and somebody stands up, and the way that you find out where you need to serve is somebody stands up and says, okay, we need five more nursery workers, and we need five to go right now. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a church where we're short five nursery workers, and we're not going to start preaching until five people volunteer to go back there. You know? And there's a little thought bubble that comes up in people's heads, you know? And there's this picture of like a dozen two-year-olds that are slobbering, just waiting for you to come in the door, and you're going to be pushed in the door, and it's going to be locked, and you can't get out until 12 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? And it's not far from the truth. And so what we said was, we don't want to have... That's not... That's a broken system. There's something about that system that's broken. And what you have is you have people, and I used to be this one of these people, and there would be people that would sit out there and hear that message, and people with the gift of leadership, we're talking about gifts, if you've got the gift of leadership, you know the first thing you think of when you hear somebody say that? You go, that ship's going down. There's something wrong with that picture. There's something wrong with that ministry, and somebody needs to get their act together. And then all the people with the gift of mercy, they would say, well, I guess I just better go help. You know, I need to go help. I mean, if they need help, I'll go help. And so people respond in different ways. But what we said was, we don't want to have that kind of system. We want a culture where, what is it that when the Scripture says that we're to use our gifts, what kind of system is it that we're to create so that people can use their gifts in a way that's a blessing to each other? And one of the things that we came up with was strategic service. How to use your gifts strategically. And what happens is, as we begin to do that, as we think about being the body and wanting to serve each other, one of the things that's helpful is when we begin to trust people around us, and when we begin to trust people that are in leadership, to be able to say, you know what, I want to serve, and I don't know where, but I'm going to trust that you're going to put me in the place of, now listen to this, in the place of the greatest need. All right? Now, there's going to be places, there's places in this church, there always will be, where there's places of the greatest need. And people who've really latched on to this idea of strategic service, people who've really latched on to the fact that, you know what, God's created me to be a part of this body. He's given me gifts. And He wants me to be a blessing to other people, and I feel a part of this body. And people who've really latched on to strategic service have said this, that you know what? I'm going to serve wherever one of the greatest needs is, and in time, as I really find out what my gifts are, then I'll find out where it is maybe in the future that I want to specifically plug into. There are some people who have been here for a long time and who've been serving, and they've done children's ministry and they've done youth ministry, or they may have been on our setup crew or our takedown crew, and they figured out, this is my gift. I've tried several things, and this is where I feel like God really wants me to focus. But people who've really latched on to that, who said, you know what, it's about the body, it's not just about me, I do belong here, and other people belong to me, and I belong to other people. And what it means is, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to trust that I'm going to serve wherever the greatest need is. That's people who've embraced strategic service. And they see themselves as part of the whole, not just an individual. And it's not that, and it's not this kind of system where there's just these random needs that kind of pop up. But I want to be a part of the whole. I want to be a part of helping us move the ball just a little bit further down the field. I want to be a part of a body who is growing and reaching people and loving people and seeing people grow. And I know that I can be a part of that no matter what it is that I do. But I'm going to do something. Now, let's turn to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And this is an excellent and a great illustration of strategic service and what this talks about. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Now, as we set this up, this Acts is the book of the Bible that comes right after the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Okay, and Acts is ACTS, not AXE. Okay, not like an axe that you're going to chop with, but Acts. That's important to know. If you haven't been around the Bible in a long time, or if the Bible's kind of new for you, ACTS, Acts, means the Acts of the Disciples. It's actions. What it's talking about is actions. And it's the actions of the people right after Jesus came, He was crucified, and He stuck around for about 40 days and appeared to about 500 people, and He went back to heaven. And it's the actions of the people that happened right after that. And in Acts chapter 6, what we see is, Jesus has gone back to heaven, and His apostles have been spreading the word, and people are coming to know Christ in a rapid way, okay? Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples were increasing. Now, let's stop right there. Disciples, that's not just talking about the 12, okay? That's talking about the thousands that have come to know Jesus in just the first few weeks and months after Jesus has gone back to heaven. The apostles were the 12, at least one, because Judas hung himself and they replaced him. But there's 12 apostles, but there's thousands of disciples. In fact, 3,000 people came to know Jesus on one day. Peter gave a sermon and 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. So when we talk about disciples, we're talking about the followers of Jesus. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. Now let's stop right there. You're thinking, what is that? What's the difference? Well, a Hebraic Jew was someone who was obviously a Hebrew. They were a person of the Jewish faith. They were a Hebrew, and that means that they lived, they resided within the nation of Israel. And the Jewish religion, it wasn't just something they believed, but it was their culture. It impacted everything in the way that they lived and the certain customs that they observed. Now, a Grecian Jew was someone who lived outside the nation of Israel. They were Jews who came from around the world. And the gospel, the message was beginning to increase. And these Grecian Jews, they were people who lived in other places other than Israel, and they adopted more of a Greek culture. Now, what's so important about that? How is it that they become believers? Well, in the city of Jerusalem, they observe all kinds of festivals, and one of those festivals is Passover. Okay? And when Jews are from around the world made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and then they began to hear what? They began to hear the message of Jesus and who He was. This Messiah that had been foretold in their religion, in their culture for all this time, when they came to Jerusalem, they began to hear the Messiah's here. And they began to place their faith in Him. But there were Hebraic Jews and there were Grecian Jews. The difference were Grecian Jews were from other places around the world. The Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now, what that means is these widows from other places, they were being overlooked. There was a daily distribution of food to widows, and the Grecian Jews were being overlooked. And so what happened was, now listen to this. There was, at this point, even after thousands of people were becoming disciples, there was no organization. Okay? There wasn't like a treasurer and a president. And there wasn't somebody in charge of different ministries with an org chart under them, you know, saying this is how everything's going to be done, and this person's going to be in charge of discipleship, and this person's going to be in charge of service. And it just wasn't like that. There wasn't this sort of organization. But this was one of the first problems that the church faced. There's two different kinds of widows, and one of them's being ignored, and somebody says, something's got to be done about this. And so, verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples, the apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Now, what are they saying? Are they saying we're not willing to serve? That's not what they're saying. But they are saying this, listen, there's thousands of us now. And you know what? These 12 are the men who walked with Jesus, who saw Him teach, who heard Him preach, who saw Him be crucified, and who saw Him be resurrected. Now, what do you think they're saying? What they're saying is, you know what? We need to be telling this story. We've seen Him. We heard Him. And the message that they're sharing is that he's alive today. Now, however that was accepted or not, He's alive today. And so they started telling that story. And they said, we need to keep telling that story. But there's a need, there's a problem. There are widows who are not getting served. Now, how do we solve that? All right, verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. We need to keep telling this story to people. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, did they stand up and say, hey, the first 100 people that volunteer, we're just going to make a broad announcement, and if you'll just stand up and just kind of walk to this side of the room, then you're the people who can wait on tables. They really didn't say that. They said, brothers, what we need to do, let's pray and think about people that are full of the Spirit and wisdom, and let's have them wait on tables. Now look at verse 5. This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Remember Stephen? It's a couple chapters later that we find that Stephen's martyred. He's sharing the gospel and he's stoned to death. But he got his start waiting tables on widows. Also Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. All right? And so there became a need in the church, and they began to identify who is it that can meet this need is one of the first examples of strategic service in the new church. And so, as we see in this, the very next sentence, I want you to look at verse 7, and this is important. Look at the very first word. It says this. It says, so the Word of God spread. Now, as you could take that word so as a result of, all right, verses 1 through 6. As a result of verses 1 through 6, as a result of this problem and the way that the apostles solved it and the way that they said, you know what, we need to give our attention to sharing this story, and there's other people out here who have gifts, and there are other people out here who can serve and wait on tables, and as a result of them identifying people who can serve, as a result of that, what happened? The Word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith, the same priests that were part of crucifying Jesus. What does it say? There was a problem that arose. There was a need that arose. And they identified people to meet that need. And so, as a result of that, the Word of God spread rapidly. Rapidly. Now, if you've been a part of this church for the past 2 years, you'll know that the growth that we've seen over the past 2 years has been pretty rapid. In fact, there's been times where we're like, wow, what are we going to do? And we just had to remind ourselves, you know what? 3,000 people came to know Jesus on one day, and a lot of those guys didn't have a plan for it. What's happened here over the last couple of years has been pretty rapid. But what we've latched onto is this, is that there are no menial acts of service. That we all chip in together, and what the Word says is that we all belong to each other. And we want to be a people that stay focused in what we're about. We don't have there are a lot of good things that we could be about, but we don't want to have a lot of sideways energy. We have some things that we feel like God's called us to with children and students and worship and in Bible studies, and we feel like that's where God's taking us, and we feel like God continues to want to grow us in that way. And there's a lot of sideways energy that we could have, but we feel like we need to continue to focus on these things and become stronger in these things. And the more force we have in this river going this way, the more change that's going to happen, the more people that we're going to impact. And so that's kind of what we've adopted. And what we tried to help people understand is it's more than, when you see people serving around here, it's more than just being, when you think of volunteers or you think of greeters and you see somebody smiling at people and shaking their hand when they come in the door or out on the sidewalk as people are coming in, it's more than just being a volunteer. It's more than just saying hello. It's more than just holding babies in a preschool ministry. It's more than that. What we're hoping to do is that we're going to anchor a truth in the lives of preschoolers so that they know that God loves them and wants to be their friend forever. And we're going to create an opportunity for adults to come in here and sit and listen and experience worship in a way that they can be focused. There's an intentionality about that. That's what people are doing. People are making a difference in other people's lives as they come here for the very first time. I mean, if you're on a baseball team, and all three of my kids play baseball, and they're kind of in the middle of that right now, and if you play first base, and you show up, and first base is kind of your position, and you show up, and maybe a couple of kids didn't show that day, and that happens almost at every game, and a coach said, you know, so-and-so didn't show up, and so, you know, Scott, what I want to need you to do is I want to need you to play third. And you just kind of go, well, coach, I'm really a first baseman. I don't really think I could play third. Or we need you to be catcher today. You to go to left field. You know, I would love to hear the conversation of a coach when a player was to tell him, you know what, I just can't do that because I'm a catcher. I'm not a left fielder. The catching is really my thing. That's the thing I'm really the strongest in. So, I mean, if you just need me to not catch, I'll just kind of sit over here on the bench, you know, for a while and I'll just kind of do that. You'd love to hear that conversation. You know why that doesn't happen? You know why that wouldn't happen? Because that's not how a team operates. How a team operates is the way that a team operates, if you're part of the team, is that you go where what? You go where you're needed. You go where the greatest need is. And it's that way a lot of times, even in this body. And what we've wanted to do is this. We feel like that we're doing an injustice to folks because this is another thing that we've seen in churches. We said we don't feel like that that's who God wants us to be. We don't feel like that what God wants us to be are people who come in here and sit and consume and leave. We're doing you, I'm doing you an incredible injustice to allow you to believe that God's pleased with that kind of life if you're a follower of Jesus. Because He's not. And for the person who just kind of wants to come and just consume with their spiritual gut hanging out every Sunday and just take up some space and leave, that's not what we're about at all. And so if you want to take your gut to another place, there's a lot of places that you can do that. But this ain't the place. And I say that with all the compassion in my heart and all the love for you in my heart because you know what? What we want to see you do is to grasp a hold of not Whitestone's value system of strategic service, but what God sees for you as a way for you to grow and impact the body. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And what you have to do and what I have to do is to trust the leadership here enough to say, you know what? I'll go where the greatest need is. I'll go where the greatest need. And as I do that, I'll pray and look and try and figure out what my gifts are so that I can plug into the place where I have the strongest gifts as I serve in that area. I'm going to start something. I'm not just going to sit on the bench because, you know what? That's not exactly the way that I'm geared or the way that I serve the best. And as in the community, I hear this all the time. As people talk about what they experience here, this is the truth. As I talk to people who've been here two times or six times that I haven't met, and I see people at the baseball field or out in the community in different places, and they begin to talk to me about Whitestone, rarely ever is it about what they experienced in the sermon. I mean, you know, you got to have a little bit of you got to have some self-confidence to be able to take that, you know? But what I love to hear is this. What people will say is, I want to tell you, our kids absolutely love it. They love it. And I want to tell you something. Our family is, I'm changing. I absolutely love the worship. It's one of the highlights of my week. My kids come home talking about what they've learned. And that's the thing that I hear the most. And why? For the people who serve here, what we want our mindset to be every Sunday is this. One of the mindsets that we want to have is every Sunday is I want to be thinking about the person who's never been here before. I want to be thinking about the person who's never been here before, because you know what? There's going to be a lady who's going to walk in, and she's been married for 20 years, but she's no longer married, and she's coming, and she needs a place to belong. She needs a place to connect. And there's going to be a couple that's going to come in, and they're on the last legs of their marriage, and they're saying, if this doesn't work, it's over. And there's going to be a single guy who's going to come in, and listen, this happens every week. There's going to be a single guy that comes in, and he's going to have 25 questions about his life and what God wants, and he doesn't have answers to any of them. And there's going to be a family that comes in with kids, and they're thinking, you know what, I strayed away from God in my 20s and my college years, and we've got kids, and I don't even know what to tell them, but I need some help. I need somebody to come alongside me to talk about what's important, some people that haven't even bought into Jesus yet. And those people come every week. And what's important is that there are people who are there to say hello with a smile on their face as they come in the door. And who welcome them into a children's classroom as they walk in and say, you know what? We're glad that you're here. There are people that we need to do that on a weekly basis. You know why? Because it's not all about me. It's about the person who's never been here before. It's about the person who needs to know Jesus. It's about the person who needs to come to know Jesus and become like Him. That's what it's about. And when you and I, as team players, as everybody on the same team says, you know what, coach? Put me in and put me where the greatest need is. I'm willing to do that. And as I go, I'll figure out where it is that I'm most gifted. It's about all of us coming together to create what none of us could do alone. That's what it's about. And we need, listen, as we look toward the fall, we need everybody to be a part of that. If you call Whitestone your church, we don't care. If you're not a member here, that's all right. If you're an attender, if you're coming here, we need, as we look toward the fall, we want to make the biggest impact for the kingdom of God. You know why? These are some things that are important to us. We believe that every person is going to spend eternity somewhere. We believe that. Every person is going to spend eternity somewhere. And we feel like that God has called us to impact people's lives here. And we believe that God's Word is meant for every day. It's not just in order for me to get to heaven, but it's also to impact the kind of person He wants me to be, the kind of son and husband and father that He wants me to be. That's what His Word is about. It's about helping us overcome anger and break addictions and have healthier relationships. His Word speaks to that. That's what He wants us to be about. That's what we believe. And we believe that we can have that kind of impact in other people's lives if we're all a part of serving strategically in other people's lives. Would you pray with me? God, I just thank you. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for these folks that are here. And I know there's thoughts running through people's minds, and they're thinking, what does this have to do with me? Or God, what is it that you want from me? Or how is it that I could best serve? How is it that I could best make an impact for you? God, what would I do? How would I be a part of that? And so God, I just pray that you would guide people even this morning as we think about that and talk about that and process that. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I want you to do something with me. I want you to take out these two sheets, this yellow sheet and this pink card, all right? And I wanted to just share with you some details about these two cards, about these two sheets. And I want you to take out the yellow one first, okay? The yellow, the big yellow sheet. And this is, as we look toward the fall, these are some of the ways that people can serve here. And there's six primary areas. And if you look at those areas there, I'll just review those real quickly. It's Sunday morning, Kids Rock Preschool. On the back is Kids Rock Children's Ministry, Studio 252, Students and Campus Support. Those are six primary areas that people can serve in. And I want you to notice something on that front page where it says Fall Worship Schedule, because for some of you, you're going to think, well, what our schedule is going to impact where I serve. This is going to be the schedule for next year. We're going to have a service at 9 and 11, and Studio 252 is going to be in the middle. Okay, we'll have an hour service at 9, an hour service at 11, and Studio 252 will be in the middle. That's kind of the structure of next year's worship schedule. And I just want to show you just very briefly what some of these areas are about. Sunday mornings is the host team. Those are greeters and ushers and welcome center hosts. The crew is people who set up and tear down on a weekly basis here. That's the crew. The production team are people who are involved in sound and lighting and all the things that happen in a media sense that make Sunday mornings possible. The celebration team are people that we need to help with communion and baptism that we do on a regular basis. We need a team to help out with that. And then as we look at preschool ministry, there's the nursery. There's being a small group leader, a small group assistant. The bridge is for preschool care during Studio 252. If you'll turn to the back on children's ministry, there's being a small group leader. There's being a small group assistant, a storyteller. Now, some people think, well, if I serve in children's ministry, I'm going to be teaching every week. No. We have storytellers, and you may be gifted to be one. But as a small group leader, mainly you're going to facilitate questions and you're going to help with activities. There's worship leader, AV tech, and Kids Rock host team. Studio 252, most of you guys have seen that on a regular basis. There's that opportunity. Our student ministry, that happens with student worship and small groups. And then at the bottom is campus support. Landscape team, helping with the grounds at the Whitestone offices. And we just bought some additional property, and we need some help with that. And helping with facility maintenance. You may be a person that has those kinds of gifts. But this is something that we would like. We're going to just take some time this morning for you to look over this. That's going to be the time, just response time. We want you just to kind of hang out here, look at that list, say, God, you know, where is it that I would like to serve the most? Now, if somebody were to ask me after this service is over, okay, Scott, where is the greatest need? Because you've talked about the greatest need a lot this morning. And I'm just, I don't know where, so I just want to serve where the greatest need. The greatest need, as it always has been at Whitestone, and hopefully will be maybe forever, is that as we have people come here and as we have families, a lot of times one person comes, but they come with four children, and two people come, but they come with three children. And so we have, our greatest need always is in preschool and children's ministry. But listen, just like I was talking about earlier, serving here doesn't mean that you serve alone. Serving here means serving on a team, and there are people who serve here that were a little tentative in the beginning that would say today, I can't imagine not serving there on Sunday morning. And so we're going to train you. We're going to equip you. We're going to walk with you. And it's going to be a place where you'll serve in a team atmosphere. But the greatest need that we have is preschool and children's ministry. So that's the fall. And then I want you to look at this coral card. Was it fuchsia? I don't know. I was trying to think of a creative name for it. But this is just a summer card, okay? Now, everybody look at me for just one second because I'm about to make a correction of something that we've said for about 3 weeks in a row. Starting next week is our summer schedule. We're not having two services. We thought that we would. And we talked about that, and we kind of discussed that. And just in the last couple of weeks, some clarities kind of came to us that, you know what, if we have one worship service, what's going to happen in the summer, because we have so many people on vacation in the summer, what's going to happen is we're going to have more energy in worship, and we're going to have our setup team is going to be able to get here just a little bit later. Our takedown team is going to get to leave just a little bit earlier. And so it's a win-win-win situation in the summer. And so we're going to have one worship service at 10 a.m. in the summer, beginning next Sunday, okay? But what we're going to need is, we need 18 people to sign up to help with children's ministry, because if we only have one service, the people that are serving in children's ministry won't be in worship. So we want to have some workers to rotate with them so that they can serve in here. And if you volunteer to do that, there will be people that will train you and show you exactly what to do, okay? And if you want to do that, we need, if you know of somebody who wants to serve with you, a team of two would be great. If it's a parent, child, or if it's two friends or whatever. But if we need 18 people this summer to serve in children's ministry. So Mark's going to play some, and what we want you to do is just take some minutes to look over this, to fill this out. Yeah, we've shared with you what the greatest need is, and as you leave this morning, there'll be somebody at the door who will take those up from you. So just look at this, maybe talk about it with someone else, and you can turn that in as you leave this morning. All right? Thanks for being here. And just kind of linger for the next 5 minutes or so, and look at that and fill it out. There should be a pencil in your seat.